on Chol HaMoed, when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we have to mention Yalom Yavoi in the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and Perek Bamei Madlikin. In the end of the Sugya of Chanukah, quotes a Tosefta, it says that if one forgot to say Yalom Yavoi on Chol HaMoed, he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. The same is true on Rosh Chodesh. The only exception to the rule is Rosh Chodesh by Ma'ariv. The Gemara has a special reason why one doesn't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But on Leil Chol HaMoed, it's the same as Shacharis and Mincha. If one forgets the Shmoneh Esrei, so the Gemara says he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Of course, on Chol HaMoed, we in the Beis HaMikdash, they brought Korbanos on Musafim, so we have to daven Musaf as well. Now, regarding Hallel, the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud draws a contrast between Hallel on Chol HaMoed Sukkos as opposed to Hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach. On Chol HaMoed Sukkos, the Gemara says we say Hallel every day, whereas on Pesach we do not say Hallel. Ah, we do say Hallel. So the answer is we say Chatzi Hallel. So therefore, why wasn't it mentioned in the Braisa? So the Rambam says because whenever we recite Chatzi Hallel, that's only a minhag. The Rambam got this from the Gemara at the end of Tainis, where the Gemara says that the reciting of Hallel, Chatzi Hallel, on Rosh Chodesh was only a minhag, and Rav, who had learned by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi in Eretz Yisrael and moved to Bavel later to establish a yeshiva, Rav and Shmuel both learned by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and both traveled to Bavel to establish yeshivas. So Rav, the first time he heard about this minhag was when he came to Bavel. He was surprised. So the Rambam understood that the reciting of Chatzi Hallel is only a minhag, not only a Rosh Chodesh. The same is true regarding Chol HaMoed Pesach as well. The Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Chanukah, when he quotes all the halachas of Hallel, Magen Mishnah. Is it too close? The Magen Mishnah quotes the Ramban, who disagrees with the Rambam, that the Chatzi Hallel that we recite on Pesach is a Chiyuv Midirabbanan, as opposed to the Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, that's only a Minhag. The difference will be whether one recites a Bracha. There is a question whether one recites a Bracha over Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. The Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, that one does not recite a Bracha over Minhagim. So the Rambam says that Chatzi Hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach and the last day's Pesach is also only a minhag, one would not recite a bracha. Whereas according to the Rambam, you do say a bracha, even on Rosh Chodesh, even when it's a minhag. But even if one were to Sfardim, who follow those Sfardim and follow the Mechaber, follow the Rambam, that they don't recite a bracha over Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, so the question is whether they should recite the bracha over the Chatzi Hallel on Pesach, Chol HaMoed Pesach and the last day's Pesach. According to the Rambam, it's only a minhag, whereas according to the Mag Mishnah Mishem Ramban, that Chatzi Hallel is a real Chiyuv Midirabbanan. So why isn't it mentioned in the Braisa? The Braisa lists off all of the days on which one is obligated to recite Hallel. So that means the Braisa is listing off the days on which one is obligated to recite Hallel min HaTorah. And the Chatzi Hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach is only Midirabbanan. That's a big Chiddush. Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes a whole defense of the opinion of the Halachas Gedolos. The Rambam writes that his opinion is the Halil is only Midirabbanan, even when on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, when you say Halil Shalem, it's only Midirabbanan. And he attacks the Halachas Gedolos for including Halil in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. One should only include in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Minyan HaMitzvahs, those mitzvahs that are min HaTorah. So the Ramban comes to defend the Halachas Gedolos, so he suggests that maybe the opinion of the Halachas Gedolos is that Halal is their Isa. So if you say like that, that Halal is their Isa on Yontif, so the Braisa left out the Chol HaMoed Pesach, and the last day's Pesach, he didn't bother to mention the Chatzi Hallel, that's only with the Rabbanan. Okay. Why should Halal be min HaTorah? What would the Makar be? And why should Halal be with the Rabbanan? What's the whole institution of Halal all about? So the Ramban there in the Sefer HaMitzvahs interprets the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud as saying the Halal is a form of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. There is a mitzvah. The Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh only mentions it in connection with Sukkot, with Samachta B'Chagecha, but the Chachamim understood that the mitzvah of Simcha applies even to Pesach and Shavuos as well, and even regarding Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, most assume that there is a mitzvah of Simcha there as well. Even though the Pasuk only says that by Sukkot, we assume that the mitzvah of Simcha applies to all of the Yomim Tovim. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs develops a theme based on the Gemara, we'll explain in a minute, that the Simcha Saguf and the Simcha Sanefesh. Simcha Saguf is Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin, and the Simcha Sanefesh is by reciting Hallel. So the Ramban seems to understand in the Gemara that on the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud discusses why do we say halal on some days and other days not? Why don't we say halal every Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no, Shabbos is not called a moed. What does that mean? So the Ramban explains that it means on Shabbos there is no mitzvah of simcha. There's only a mitzvah of simcha on Yontif. And halal is a form of fulfilling that mitzvah of simcha. Then the Gemara asks, well, Rosh Chodesh is ikri moed. Rosh Chodesh is a mitzvah of simcha. How come we don't say halal? Because the chatzi halal that we say is only a minhag. Why is there not a chiv to recite halal shalom? So the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh is not ikdish basiyas malacha. What does that mean? So the Ramban writes, Ramban interprets in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Ramban interprets that Gemara is meaning that it sounds from the Ramban in the Beis HaMikdash they talk of one mechuyiv to say halal on Rosh Chodesh Midina, because in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with the Musafim there is a chiyiv simcha, so that chiyiv simcha requires that we should recite halal. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash there is no observance of Rosh Chodesh at all. It's lo yigdish basiyas malacha, you don't bring Musafim and there's no isa malacha, so there's no observance at all. There's no mitzvah sayom observed on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the mitzvah of simcha is not expressed chutz lebeis hamikdash. This is how Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and then he said he found years later that the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs interprets the Gemara like that. So according, then the Gemara continues to explain why that Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud, the Gemara continues to explain how come each day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos we say Halal Shalom as opposed to Chol HaMoed Pesach when we don't say every day Halal Shalom. So the Gemara says that each day of Sukkot is chalukim b'karbanim same. Every day there's a different carbon, musaf. The karbanos on musaf and keep on changing. The pariyah chag apochsim aholchim, as opposed to Pesach, that every day you bring the same carbon. What does that mean? So the Poshib Shati Gemara sounds a little strange, as if every day of Pesach it's boring, that you bring the same karbanos every day, it gets boring. And variety is the spice of life. So therefore, every day of Sukkot, since there's variety, bring a different carbon. So that's where there's a mitzvah of simcha. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, he thinks that the Gemara means the following. Every day of Sukkot there's a separate carbon, and every day of Sukkot has its own parsha in the Chumash, in Parshas Pinchas. It says, what do you bring? B'yam HaSheni, B'yam HaShlishi, B'yam Arvi, B'yam HaMishi. Every day has its own parsha. So every day has a separate Kedushas HaYoyim. And each day is Mechayiv and Simchas. And since each day has a separate Chiyuv Simcha, so you have a separate Chiyuv to recite Halal every day. As opposed to Pesach, it's not Chalukah Mekorban HaSem. It does mean that it gets boring. What it means is that the Yontif of Pesach, all the 7 days of Pesach, by us 8 days, all the 7 days of Pesach are included in one parsha in the Chumash. It's not that there's a separate Kedushas HaYoyim on the second day, a separate Kedushas HaYoyim on the third day, a separate Kedushas HaYoyim on the fourth day. It's one long Kedushas HaYoyim that extends for the duration of the 7 days of Pesach. So once you said halal on the first day, so you already have fulfilled the mitzvah of Simcha for the whole duration of Pesach. So there's no need to recite halal again. How come we say halal on the second day of Pesach? If you say you said on the first day, you were yotzei. The answer is that's what Tzveika D'Yoyim is all about. Maybe the first day was Erev Pesach, maybe it was Chol, and maybe the second day is really the first day. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said he heard from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Let's say a person was not healthy and he didn't recite halal the first few days of Pesach, and he wakes up, he's in a coma, whatever. He wakes up on the third day, Chol HaMoed Pesach. So he hasn't yet recited halal shalom. So he thought that he's mechuyif to say halal shalem, the first available opportunity on Pesach. It's not a din, the first 2 days of Pesach he say halal shalem, and the rest of the days he don't say halal shalem. No, you have to say some time or another during the duration of the 7 days of Pesach, you have to say halal shalem. So if you didn't say the first 2 days, so you say the first time you realize that you haven't been in fulfillment of the mitzvah, you have to say halal shalem whenever it happens to be. Then the rest of the days you say only the chatzi halal. Of course, this whole pshat is on the assumption that there is a mitzvah of simcha and Chol HaMoed. That's what we assume. There is no mitzvah of kibud v'oneg. The mitzvah of kibud v'oneg in the Novi, the mitzvah of kibud v'oneg speaks about Shabbos. The Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, L'Kadosh Hashem Mechubad. The Novi Yishai speaks about that. The simple reading of the Gemara in Beitza and Psochim seems to imply that the mitzvah of kibud v'oneg only applies to Shabbos, does not even apply to Yontif. But the Rambam writes not so. And the Acharonim don't know exactly where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam is against the Gemara. Beis Halevi asks it, other Acharonim ask it. The Rambam is against the Gemara. But for sure, Chol HaMoed, there is no mitzvah of kibud v'oneg. So that's why Chol HaMoed, there is no chiyuv to have suda. The reason why there's a chiyuv to have a suda achas bayom, achas balayla, is because there's a din of kvod yom and a din of kvod layla. there is no din of kibud v'yoinik, so that's why there's no obligation to have a suda. One is forbidden to fast on chalamoy. Tainus is also, but you don't necessarily have to have a suda. One is not allowed to fast, that's a violation of simcha. But one is not mechuyev to have a suda. The chiyuv suda stems from the fact that there's a chiyuv kibud v'yoinik. So therefore the Gemara says one forgot to say yalo v'yova and birchas hamazon on chalamoy, one would not have to repeat the birchas hamazon. Only on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but one is obligated to have a suda. So therefore one forgot yalo v'yova, you have to repeat the birchas hamazon. There's no chiyuv kibud v'yoinik, so a person can walk around in jeans and shorts on chalamoy. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos there's a concept of kibud and there's a concept of bizoyin. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that hamavazes samodos will be punished. Vazes samodos means that he wears improper clothing. He doesn't dress up properly lekovet chalamoy. It's not you don't have the same chiyuv. There is no chiyuv kibud v'yoinik, so it's not the same as Shabbos and Yom Tov, but you have to dress slightly lower. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the big day Yom Tov should be fancier than the big day Shabbos, and then the commentaries explain the big day Chalamoy should be slightly less than the big day Shabbos. But one should not walk around in a real plain big day Chol, because that would be included in the category of Hamavazeh Samoyadois. On Chalamoy there is a chi of simcha, so therefore the din is people dying every day. So if Chalila someone dies on Chalamoy, so you make a funeral, but the Avelim don't begin Shiva till after Yom Tov is over. We live in Chutz Laaretz, so the Gemara says in the last parak in Maikotin that the last day Yom Tov counts as the first day of Shiva, even though one does not observe any Shiva on the last day. If Kairos Mesa Beregel, if a funeral took place on Yom Tov or Chalamoid, so the Psak in Shulchan Aruch is, the Ashkenazim follow the Psak of the Ramah, the Dvarm Shebitzino Anoig, one has to observe the laws of Avelis, even though Dvarm Shebitzino Anoig, he doesn't wear a Beged Karua, and you don't do Atif HaSarosh, and so on, you don't cover over the mirrors, and so on. But Avelis Bitzina one does observe, even though the days are not oile le Shiva. Regarding Kriya, ripping Kriya on Chalamoid, so there is a discussion on Shulchan Aruch. So some have, there are more quotes that some communities had a minig that one only when a relative dies. Some communities had a minig that only a Kriya Aloi Valima one does on Chalamoid. If any other relative dies, one does not rip Kriya. So then the Ramah says, if it's clear that your community has such a minig, so you follow the minig. But the Ikar Adin, if your community doesn't have such a minig, you don't adopt that minig. That's a difficult minig. The Pashtus is that one is mechuyev to rip kriya ala meis. If someone dies, one has to rip kriya whether it's of v'imo or shakroivim an chalamoid. What if one goes to visit the Kosel HaMaravi for the first time an chalamoid? He hasn't gone in 30 days. If you were there in the last 30 days, you don't rip kriya again. But if one hasn't visited in the last 30 days, so then it says in the Mogen Avram that ripping Kriya by the Kosel HaMaravi is not the same as ripping Kriya when a relative dies. Ripping Kriya when a relative dies is not a form of Nihug Avelis. The Gemara says Avelis Luchud and Kriya Luchud. It's an expression over the fact that we recognize the fact that someone died, but we're not being noig any avelis. Masheni came kriya on the Kosel HaMaravi, that's considered a form of nihog avela. So that's why number one, erev Pesach after Chatzos, we pask and one does not observe avelis, and achalamoy does not avelis, and one doesn't rip kriya erev Pesach after Chatzos. The minig developed, and all of the poskim say it's an incorrect minig, that one doesn't rip kriya any erev Shabbos and any erev Yom Tov after Chatzos. So that's really a mistake. That's a carryover from Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloek, there's Taisvus in the Yor Zeruah, whether one observes Avela Shiva, let's say Rahman al-Islam, one is an Avela Shiva. So when it comes Erev Pesach at Chatzos, does that end the Avela? So there are more paskins like the Yor Zeruah that it ends the Avela. So even though Taisvus in Zvachim writes Beferish, not so. So we say Halachik Devra Mekel Be'ovel, we are Mekel like the Shita Sor Zeruah. In the other direction, we would make also, let's say someone died and the kvura took place on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So if you're going to say you don't observe any Avelus, he has to observe Dvarim Shebitzina till after all the 8.5 days of Erev Pesach and the whole duration of Pesach, then he has to sit Shiva after Pesach. That's quite a nuisance. So then we would say the reverse. Halachik Devar Mekel Ba'Avol, we would tell him observe the Avelus Shiva Er Pesach Heftach Hatzais, and Yom Tov will cancel the rest of the Avelus. That would be Lahakal in that direction. But if one started the Avelus before Er Pesach, let's say Er Pesach in the morning, when it comes Chatzai, so the Ramah Paskins, that terminates the Avelus. So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchus Tisha B'Av, whenever there's a period of time that one doesn't observe Avelus, like on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, Er Pesach Heftach Hatzai, so we don't rip Kriya either. Cotton. There's a machloikas ha-goinim in Psak and Shulchan Aruch is that ketanim before bar mitzvah don't observe avelus. They do rip kriya l'chud, v'avelus l'chud, they do rip kriya, after rip regular kriya. If it's a cotton she'egir l'china, has to rip regular kriya, but he doesn't observe any avelus at all, even though his bar mitzvah is going to be next month. He doesn't observe any avelus at all. So a cotton before bar mitzvah never rips kriya by the kosel ha-maravi, because cotton doesn't observe avelus, and ripping kriya by the kosel ha-maravi, that's an aspect of nihug avelus. So that kriya we wouldn't do on Chol HaMoed, but kriya for relative dies, that one does observe on Chol HaMoed. Because on Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed there is a mitzvah of simcha, so the Gemara learns out from Psukim and Chumash that there is a din of eima arvin simcha b'simcha. So therefore, there's an iser, seems from the Gemara, an iser deraisa, you're not allowed to get married on Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed. The prohibition against getting married on Shabbos is only midirabbanon, because it's a form of part of the gzera derabbanon of mekach memka gzera shem yichtov. But the prohibition against getting married on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, that's an isa deraisa. That's called ein marvin simcha b'simcha. What if you want to have your wife had a baby and you have a bris? So you want to have a party on Chol HaMoed? You want to have a pidyon ben? So Tosis explained that's a different story. Tosis, my cotton says, you didn't pick the date. Your wife had the baby, so you have to have the bris, you have to have the pidyon ha-ben. You have no choice. That kind of a simcha one does do. Then in Shulchan Aruch, there's a big discussion based on the first two prokim in Mishnayis of my cotton. What's the story regarding malocha on Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnayis say beferish that some malochas are mutar, some malochas are rasa. So what kind of a compromise is this? So there's a big machlekes harishonim, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yosef Kara paskins that the isa malach and Chol HaMoed is only the rabbanon, and the Ramah paskins for Ashkenazim that the isa malach and Chol HaMoed is an isa deraisa. Is there any difference halacha lemaisa whether it's deraisa the rabbanon? It's the Mishnah spell out exactly what's also what's mutas. So Rabbi Kevege writes on the first sif in Hilchas Chol HaMoed. Yeah, there's a big difference. If you have a suffix, the Gemara has an Ibad Leif sheet on certain activities, whether they're Asur or Mutter. So according to the Mechaber, the Melachas Chol HaMoed is only an Isa de Rabbanon, so we would say Sofik de Rabbanon Lekula. According to the Ramah, the Melachas Chol HaMoed is Deraisa, we would say Sofik de Raisa Lechumah. So he points out that the Mechaber and the Ramah argue Lishitasam in another Sif and Shulchan Aruch regarding a certain instance when the Gemara in Moed Kotn has an Ibad Leif sheet. Mechaber Paskins Lachel and the Ramah Paskins Lahachme. What is this? What are the Makaris and the Gemara for this dispute? Whether Melechas Chol HaMoed is the Raisa the Rabbanon. So one Makar is the Gemara, the end of the first Perek in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says the Kusim didn't observe the Isser of Melechas Chol HaMoed. Today, many of the most Orthodox Jews don't observe the Din of Melechas Chol HaMoed. But in the days of the Tanaim, the Kusim were the Shkotzim. They didn't observe the Din of Melechas Chol HaMoed. So if I will rent a field to a kusi, so the Gemara says, I will be in violation of lifne evil esite michshol, because the kusi, I know for sure, the kusi is going to do malacha in the field or a shop, whatever, he's going to do malacha san Chol HaMoed. So Tosis raises a question there, and the last daf in the first parak in Maseches Avodah Zarah, lifne evil esite michshol an anisa derabbanon. Does that make sense? So if the Gemara would appear that malacha Chol HaMoed is anisa deraisa, and that's why there's a din of lifnei evil if sita mirsha. But if the whole malachas Chol HaMoed is only rabbanon, it doesn't make sense that there should be a din of lifnei evil. Then Tosis says, why not? The other opinion, why not? Malachas Chol HaMoed is an isa de rabbanon, so there's lifnei evil, midi rabbanon. Some even want to say that the Minchas Chinuch wants to suggest that maybe there'll be an isa lifnei evil deraisa on isa de rabbanon. Just like if you put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, that's a lifnei evil deraisa. So if you marshal somebody in an Isa de Rabbanon, maybe that'll also be an Isa de Raisa of Lifnei Evel Esite Michshol. So that source is not that conclusive. If you're so convinced that it doesn't make sense to say that there's an Isa Lifnei Evel on an Isa de Rabbanon, so then it's a Beferish Araya. The Gemara says there is Lifnei Evel, Malachas Chol HaMoed says it's a Beferish Araya, that Malachas Chol HaMoed is de Raisa. But that the first premise is not so convincing. That was the Machlekes and Tosfos. The other source which is debated is the Gemara Moed Katan and the Gemara Chagiga, the second paragraph in Chagiga. So the Gemara points out from the Psukim, it's a little unclear regarding Malacha. It says the first day you're not allowed to do Malacha, Shvish al Pesach you're not doing Malacha, and then in the middle it seems that you're not allowed to do Malacha, you're out of the Malacha, it's unclear. So the Gemara says some Malachas are Mutah, some Malachas are Asur. Who decides what's Mutah, what's Asur? So the Gemara says La Masara HaKasuv Ela L'Chachamim. The Torah left it up to the rabbis that they should establish, they should determine what they feel should be Asur, what they feel should be Mutah. So half of the Rishonim say, there you have it. It says Beferis that it's only the Rabbanan. La Masara HaKasuv Ela L'Chachamim. The rabbis made it up, so it's only a Din Rabbanan. The other Rishonim say, no, that's a concept deraisa. There are Psukim and Chumash. Take for example Chukasaku. It says in the Chumash that you're not allowed to do practices that the Nochrim do, the Umasalim do, Chukasak. So the Kesef Mishnah writes on the side of the Rambam that this is Lamasar of HaKasav El HaChamim to determine what's included, what's not included. Once they'll determine what's included, then it'll be Anisa Deraisa. It's not that the rabbis invented Dinim Derabban. The Rambam understood that all of the Dinim that appear in the Tosefta, that are all the things that are also because of Chukasakum, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that all of those are Anisa Derais. So it's interesting, according to this group of Rishonim, there is a concept of a Din Deraisa, which is Lamasara HaKosav El Allah HaChamim. It's unclear in the Chumash what Pshat in the Pasuk is, and it's up to the Chachamim to determine, and once they determine it, then it becomes a Din Deraisa. It's an interesting concept. So Rav Chana Wasserman has his Kuntres Dibrei Sofrim, a whole Sefer, long essay, where he discusses the theme of the whole Sefer is the relationship between the Dinim Derabbanan and the Dinim Deraisas. He has one chapter where he discusses this concept. He raises a very interesting sophic. We have a din in the Gemara, Ein Bezdin Yochal Abatel Dibri Bezdin Chaverim Ken Godel Hemena B'chokma V'minyan. If an earlier Bezdin enacted a Din Derabbanan, they enacted a Gzer Derabbanan, so later Bezdin can only repeal it if they're greater B'chokma V'minyan than the earlier Bezdin. So the Yerushalmi says that halacha, the Rambam quotes it, Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, all the Rishonim quoted, that din, Ein Bezdin Yochal Abatel Dibri Bezdin Chaverim Ken Godel Hemena B'chokmin, doesn't apply to Dinim Derais. Only applies to Din Derabbanan. The earlier Bezdin made a rabbinic enactment, the later Bezdin cannot repeal it unless the greater Bechokhma v'minyan. But regarding a Din Deraisa, the Pasuk says, V'asa l'shefa t'shiyah b'yamim ha'im, ein l'cha l'shefa t'shib yamecha, yiftach b'dor kishmul b'dor. Even if you are not on the same level, you're not greater Bechokhma v'minyan, not even as great. You're nowhere near the greatness of the earlier Talmud Chacham, the earlier generation. If you think that the din is not so you have a right to disagree with the earlier Pesach. You have to be entitled to an opinion. Sometimes people think they're God's gift to the world, they're not entitled to an opinion at all. Sometimes we read in contemporary Shalos HaTshuvos, you read in Shalos HaTshuvos from the days of the Rishonim, that ridiculous things. Not everybody who lived in the generation of the Rabbeinu Tam was a Rishon. They had Amaratzim then also. It wasn't a generation that was so blessed that they weren't all Tamid Chacham. Some of the Amaratzim wrote Svarim also, and their manuscripts are printed also, like in our generation. Nothing new. So if one is entitled to an opinion, so then he's entitled and obligated to express his honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who preceded him, and even if those people are clearly greater b'chokhmah v'inyan him, if it's a din deraisa, he has to express his opinion. So the shaila is, where did this whole thing come from? On the level of a din derabbanan, ein bezdin yochal abatel dibri bezdin chaverim ken gadol hamenem chachmi. Where does that come from? So Rabbi Chana Wasserman is not sure regarding the status, let's say, of malachas chalamoid. If one would adopt the position of those rishonim that malachas chalamoid is deraisa, that's how the Ramah paskens malachas chalamoid is deraisa. So what would be the din if an earlier bezdin would establish what they think the system is, what they think the dinim should be, and a later bezdin chooses to change that psa? So there are three possibilities Rabbi Chana raises. One could say you're dealing with a din deraisa, ein l'cha l'shefet shabi amecha. The bezdin in every generation is entitled to express their opinion, so the later bezdin can reverse everything that the earlier bezdin said. Possibility number two, you can say no, lo masara hakasav el l'chachamim. When the Rabban Shalom wrote the pasuk in the Chumash, it was not yet determined what the guidelines are going to be. So he left it up to the Chachamim to establish. Once the Chachamim established it, said that's it. So that comes out that that's the pshat in the pasuk. So once it's been established, that's the pshat, so nobody can reverse it, even if you grade a b'chachma b'minya. Comes out, igloi milson ha'afreya, that was the pshat in the pasuk. So what shach, that someone's going to disagree. But then there's a third possibility, that this is a din d'araisa, ein bezn yachal abatl, divi bezn chaber, m'kein god l'menem, b'chachma b'minya. Maybe that is a din d'araisa, that we have such a din on the level of the Rabbanon, that's called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun. Where do you have such a din D'Oraisa? Only in this case, if you don't have a pasuk, if you don't have a din that's l'misara kasu el l'chachamim, so you say en l'cha l'shefet shel b'yamecha, the Bezdin in each generation has a right to disagree with the Bezdin in the earlier generation. But over here, when it's up to the chachamim to determine the din, the Chacham have authority over here. L'masar kas v'al Chachamim. So the din d'araisa would be that if a later bezin wants to revisit the kviyas, the determination that the earlier bezin did, maybe on the level of the d'araisa you would require bezin gadol b'chachma v'minyan. So b'negiat the din of the rabbanon, that's called the tikkun rabbanon kein d'araisa tikkun. Whenever the Chachamim are being kovei a din, then this din applies. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman raises this possibility. From the Rambam, there's a Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim. The Rambam sounds like he says that the second shot that we said, the second possibility, since it's Lamasara Kasvel LaChachamim, so once the first Chachamim came along and they were kaveh what the guideline should be, so that's it. So that's it. It's a Gloy Milson Afred, that's what the Rabban Shalom meant. So you can't budge it all. No one has the ability to change anything. Anyway, so there is a principle of Malachas Chalamoid, and some Machlekes, the Mechaber and the Ramoah, representing a major Machlekes or Rishonim, whether Malachas Chalamoid is a Din D'Oraisa, a Din D'Rabbanon. What's the issue? Because some Isurim Amuta, some Malachas Amut, some Malachas Arasa, it's a compromise. It's a question. This compromise, is this a compromise D'Oraisa, the Masara Kos Ve'Ela Chachamim, to determine what's included? Or is the whole compromise only the Rabban? So what are the dinim what are the heterim? So in Shulchan Aruch, you look on the first page in Hilchas Chalmai, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bir Agra, who sums up the whole story over here, that there are five heterim, five distinct heterim for doing Malacha and Chalmai. So one heter is Tzorchei Rabbim. They didn't have, like we have today, a governor and a mayor and people working in city hall and so many people working for the government and their salary. They didn't have salaried people. All the tzorchei rabim, the paving of the highways and the building of municipality, the city hall and so on, all this was done by volunteer work. So which mishugan is going to volunteer? Who has time to take care of tzorchei rabim? So on Chalamayit, when you don't do your own malacha, you don't work on your own farm, you don't sell your own, you keep your stores closed and everything, the barbershop is closed, so the people have nothing to do. So that's when they can do the Tzorchei Rabim. So that's one heter you have in the Mishnah. So Tzorchei Rabim amuter on Chalamayit. Real malachas you're allowed to do on Chalamayit. Then there's another din, even Tzorchei Yochid. He permitted to do a malacha if it's a Dovah Ha'aved. What's a Dovah Ha'aved? I invested a lot of money in a certain project, and then if I started the whole system, I set up a whole system in advance, knowing in advance I'm going to have to do malach and chalamayit, and if not, I'm going to lose my initial investment. So that's kiven malach to malach. That's not a heter dava habid. There's no heter, and if you do the malach and chalamayit, the rabbis will penalize you that you're not allowed to get hanoah from it. If you'll drop dead, so then your children will be allowed to get hanoah. The Gemara says, lo konsa b'nai achrav. They only penalize the one who did the aver. Whoever does a malach ha-chalamoy, where there was no heter, even if it's a dov ha-avid, where he has a heter, but if it's kivim malach ha-mamoy, he set it up initially knowing in advance that it's going to become a dov ha-avid ha-chalamoy, and that's not acceptable. So even there, there's a penalty with the Rabbanon that he's not allowed to get hanoah from the malacha that he did. So dov ha-avid is a din. I have a farm, I have a business, whatever, I have a job. Let's say I have a job. And then if I don't come in a chalamayit, they're going to fire me. So what do you tell me? It's kivim malachma. I shouldn't have taken that job. What do you want me to do? Are you self-employed? I'm not able to be self-employed. You have to get a job somewhere or another. Wherever you're going to get a job, you can't take off 8 days in a row. So that's not called kivim malachma. So if a person is concerned, there's a shayla in Paskin. What if it's a sofik dava habit? Do you say sofik lechumer or sofik lekula? So many amek ala safik dava avid is a dava avid, and that's called a dava. I may or may not lose my job. If I lose my job, I'll be in big trouble. So we're mekel on that. A safik dava avid is also muta. So whenever dava avid is not, if I'll do the malacha today, I'll make a fortune of money. No, that's not permissible. Let's say they're looking for somebody to drive from New York to California on Chalamoid. So if I go, they'll pay me $5 million to drive. So that's not a Dov HaHavid. I can make a fortune of money. There's an opportunity to make a fortune of money. That's not called Dov HaHavid. Dov HaHavid means I invested money in this already. And if I'm not going to do the Malacha Chalamoid, I'll be losing the Karen. I'll be losing all of the money that I invested already. So then there's a heter of Dov HaHavid. Even when there's a heter to do a Dov HaHavid, you're not allowed to do it if there's a Tircha Merubah. You have a lot of details about this. People work on farms, a lot of dinim in Shulchan Aruch. Exactly what's the degree of tircha yaseira that's not allowed? And when is it only a tircha muetas that is allowed? Then, of course, there's a head to do malacha chalmoy tzorchei amoy. Let's say you want to cook for yontif. Shtei tzorchei, you're allowed to cook. Even malachas that you wouldn't be allowed to do on yontif, let's say on yontif, even though we have a head to rechel nefesh, the Gemara says you're not allowed to pluck off fruits from the tree. You're not allowed to squeeze out oranges to make orange juice. Taisus asked the question, why not? On the first daf in Beitzah, if there's a heter rechel nefesh, why are you not allowed to pluck off the fruits from the tree? Why are you not allowed to squeeze out the oranges? So that's a whole discussion in Taisus and the other mefarshim on the Gemara. But you're not allowed to. On Chalamoid, you certainly are permitted to pluck off fruits from the tree that you plan to eat, or to grind up grain in order to make flour, in order to cook for yontif. That's certainly permissible. Tzorcha amoid are permissible. Then there's another heta, maisa hedyot is permissible. If a person does a malacha that doesn't require a maisa uman, so that's also permissible sometimes. Let's say ksiva on chalamoid. If you're going to write in a fancy ksav, someone's going to write a sefer Torah on chalamoid. So ksiva sefer Torah is a maisa uman. Unless the shul has a sefer Torah, they have to lain. And there's a psul in the sefer Torah. If you're not going to correct the psul, you won't be able to lain. Or the Mishnah says the fella needs tefillin on chalamoid. There were clearly some Tanaim who did wear tefillin on Chalamoy. There were Tanaim who wore tefillin on Shabbos Yontav also. So maybe those were the same Tanaim who wore tefillin on Chalamoy. But they clearly were. The question is, we follow that shita that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos Yontav. So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim, whether we wear tefillin on Chalamoy or not. By the Balabatim, they have a Balabatish tradition that it depends. If you go to work on Chalamoy, then you wear tefillin. If you don't go to work, then you don't wear tefillin. That's not the accepted opinion. It's a question in din. Whether you go to work or not, that's a question whether you have. If you have a hetter, you go to work. If you don't have a hetter, you're not allowed to go to work. If you go to work, you're doing wrong. Okay? You're doing wrong. And tefillin is a question in din, whether you're supposed to wear tefillin or not. But clearly, there were Tanaim who wore tefillin on Chalamoid. There were Tanaim who wore tefillin on Shabbos Yontif. So at least they wore tefillin on Chalamoid. So the Mishnah says a fella needs a pair of tefillin to wear Chalamoid. He doesn't have someone else's tefillin to borrow. In the days of the Tanai, they wore tefillin all day long. So how can I borrow someone else's tefillin? He's going to wear the tefillin all day long. So I also need. So the Mishnah talks about wearing tefillin, writing tefillin on Chalamoid, because he needs it. He needs a mezuzah. The Mishnah is talking about writing, correcting the Sefer Torah. Okay, if you really need it. Tzorchei Amoyed. But if it's not Tzorchei Amoyed, so then Ksiva would only be muta if it's a Maisa Hedyot. If it's a Melech Asuman, then you're not allowed to. And then you have a fifth kula, Poel Vein Lo Mayochel. If you have a laborer who only survives based on his daily earnings. He gets a job today, gets some money, buys some food. If he doesn't get a job, he has nothing to eat, literally. He has nothing. We rarely have such people today. I don't know such people. Everybody has money in the bank. What do you mean? So maybe in Europe they have people like that. So they're I'm allowed to engage such a Jew to do malacha by me. If Imam, rather than give him charity, I'm not mechuyev to give him charity, he has a heter to do malacha on yontif, even a malacha that a normal person wouldn't have a heter to do. It's not a dov HaHavid. He's allowed to do malacha in order to earn some money, in order to have food to eat. On Chalamoid, you see in the Rishonim, the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Chachamim, only things that they asked were malachas. They asked malachas derais and malachas derabban. They never asked gzeris. That's a complicated topic. You have to study all the gemaras. not all the things that they prohibited on Shabbos and Yontif on Melachas, some of them are Gzeres. The Melachas are the 39 Melachas, the Lamtas Melachas, let's say Tiltil Mukzeh, to handle money in your pocket, or to handle any other kind of a Mukzeh. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that Tiltil Mukzeh is Mutar Machalamoy, it's only awesome on Yontif. Why? Because Mukzeh is only a Gzeres Shema Yotzi. It's not the Malacha. It doesn't qualify as a Malacha, not the Natar, not the Rabbanah. It's a Gzeres Shema Yotzi. So Tiltil Mukzeh is Mutar Machalamoy, to take refuah, to apply medications. To apply medication is also on Shabbos and Yontov because a Gzeres Shema Yishachik Samamani. But he didn't actually do Shchika Samamani. He can't say that by swallowing a pill he's in violation of Tochin. He can't say that. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that they quoted Tosefta like that. It is permissible to take medications on Chalamoy. There's no problem of Refuah because it's only a Gzeres de Rabbanan. There's a Tosis in the first Perek in Moed Katan that you're not allowed to ride horseback on Chalamoyd because the Gzera ain't Rechum Agabi Asus. Unless you need it, Letzor Chamoyd, unless you have to arrive somewhere. So Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, we don't pass like that Tosis, period. That's all. Why? So he said, because it's only a Gzera. Ain't Rechum Agabi Asus. It's not a Malacha, even the Rabban. It's a Gzera. Shema, he may break off a branch from the tree, he may break off a twig in order to encourage the horse to go faster. So since it's only a gzera, so the Shulchan Aruch passing is against the Taisus. That's Tamut or Achalamoy to ride on a horseback. To play music is a machloikis to Shari Tshuva. Next to the Vehetiv quotes a machloikis, they allow to play the piano on Achalamoy. So the accepted opinion of the overwhelming majority of the Paschim is that it's Mutter, because if you have an electrical musical instrument, maybe there's a malach involved. But if you just have a plain old piano, nothing electronic, so then it's just a gzera of mashmiya called Shema Yisak and Klesia. That's a gzera. So the accepted opinion is that gzera is
amuta. Does that mean
malach is the rabbanon and aras on chalamoid, unless it's one of those five heterim. But whatever is not even a malach and rabbanon, only a gzera, so that's muta.
So is that?
There must be many, 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 many malachas the rabbanon. Most of the malachas that are aras on Shabbos Yonder are only with the rabbanon. If there's malacha involved in refuah, so that's considered tzorchei hamoyed. All tzorchei haguf are included in tzorchei hamoyed. It's even mutar lechavim malach to hamoyed. Let's say I have to go to the dentist sometime or another. So the dentist may put chametz dik medication in my mouth. So if it's not a religious dentist and he may put chametz, I don't go on chalamoyed Pesach. But if I know that everything's chashul lePesach, so it says that it's permissible lechatchila to go to the dentist, to go to the eye doctor, to schedule a doctor's appointment on Chalamoy. That's called Tzorchei Haguf, are called Tzorchei Hamoy. That's Mutter. I think routine checkup is also Mutter. I think it's also Mutter, even though they're doing Malachas.
Wasn't my sphere allowed to also play music? You're holding my sphere allowed to play music also?
If one observes a sphere, maybe we'll get to that later. I'm going to get there. Okay. The common practice is that people walk out in the street all the time with things in their pockets. On Chalamoy, nobody empties out their pockets. So that's the contemporary Svarmi asked that question. How come no one is careful about Hoitzoh? Hoitzoh is an Iser Malocha on Shabbos and Yontov, so Hoitzoh should be Asa on Chalamoy also, unless Letzor Chamoy. But whatever's not Letzor Chamoy should be Asa. So that's what some suggest, that the Taisvis came up with an idea that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, tossed around. Every so often, maybe ain't lana rishus rabim deraisa bismanazem. Maybe all the streets are considered only a carmelis, and in a carmelis, the Gemara has a surprising assumption. If you would have asked me, nobody asked me. I'm not entitled to an opinion. If you would have asked me, I would have said that carrying a carmelis is a malacha midrabbanan. So the Gemara says not like me. The Gemara says not even a malacha midrabbanan. It's a gzera. Shema all malachas derabbanan are gzera. But the Gemara says this, even at the end of the day, it's not a malacha midrabban, it's only a gzera. You have certain kulas, and carrying in a karmelis that you don't have on a malacha midrabban. So maybe that's the reason why the common practice is that people don't bother to empty out their pockets. People carry all kinds of things on Chalamoy, even though they don't really need it. There isn't even a half a minute that they're going to need it. Because maybe everybody's assuming that we don't really have Rosh Hashanah on deraisa. So it's only a karmelis, and a karmelis is only a gzera. It's not even a malacha midrabanan. Prakmatya is a rush in Maseches Ma'ikotin, Let's say you keep the store open and people come shopping, they buy clothing, you sell, you buy. What's the story with pragmatia? So pragmatia, if you don't write a check, if you don't write, if you don't do ksiva, just buying merchandise, that's mekech memke zosa gzeira shema yichtum. So that's only a gzeira. So strictly speaking, if a fellow keeps his store open chalamoyin and he doesn't do malachas, he just does pragmatia and the customers just do pragmatia, selling and buying. So the Rosh says that should really have been mutter on chalamoy because it's only a gzeira. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says, the Rosh quotes, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that they made a separate prohibition against pragmatia because why did the Rabbanu Shalom give us chalamoy in the first place? He should have given us yontav and chol. Why do they have to give us this ambiguous ben Hashmasha's concept of chalamoy? So the Yerushalmi says that Bnei Yisrael should have time to sit and learn. So the Rosh explains, if people are going to be involved in pragmatia, strictly speaking, it should have been mutter because it's only a gzeira, but if they go do pragmatia, then they'll always find time all day long. They'll find more business and more business, so they'll never learn a word. The whole purpose of chalamot is you should sit and learn. And if you do pragmatia, they'll spend the whole day on making money, so that's why they prohibited pragmatia. So the Rosh says, since really mikra din pragmatia should have been mutter, it's a separate gzeira that they asked it, that we should sit and learn. That's why we are more lenient as far as the definition of Dovah Ha'ovid in Pragmatia. Let's say this is sale on a chalamoy. And if I don't, there's a 50% off, some significant amount of money off. And if I don't go chalamoy, I'll lose my opportunity. So strictly speaking, that's not called Dovah Ha'ovid. Dovah Ha'ovid means I'm going to lose the money that I invested already. Not that there's an opportunity to make money, or there's an opportunity to save money. That strictly speaking, that should not qualify as a davar ha'oved, that since pragmatia is not a full-fledged iser, pragmatia is not really a malacha, so it really should have been mutter. It's only a chumer that the rabbis introduced, that pragmatia is also. So we're lenient on the definition of davar ha'oved. So if there's taka a major sale on a chalamoy, you're allowed to buy on chalamoy. The contemporary poskim write, they're not sure regarding a malacha shein svicha legufa. Whether malacha shein svicha legufa should be labeled as a malachim ederabbanon. It's not a malachim in Atar because ain't svicha legufa. Is it a malachim ederabbanon? Or should we say that it's not even a malachim ederabbanon? It's only a gzeira, and as such, it should be mutan chalamoy. So this is unclear. The poskim write that it's unclear. The Mishnayos have in the third perik in Moed Katan, perik Elam Megalchin, that the Chachamim introduced a prohibition, a specific prohibition against taking haircuts on chalamoid and washing clothing on chalamoid. Mikra din, if a person needs a haircut, so it should be tzorchei amoid. So, in tzorchei amoid is even mutter, even kivim alachta lamoid. Let's say the balabasta could have cooked everything before Yantav, put it all in the refrigerator and the freezer. She doesn't have to. She's allowed to save some food to cook on chalamoid for the last days yantar. Tzorchei amoid is mutar l'chatchila on chalamoid. So let's say a person doesn't really need, takes a haircut once every couple of weeks, once every month or so. So before yantar, he doesn't really need a haircut. By the last days yantar, he will need a haircut. So it should be permissible, mikir adin, to wait till the last days yantar, then take a haircut. So the Mishnah say you're not allowed to. They prohibit it. Or let's say the same thing, washing clothing. The Balabasta washes his clothes once a week. So on Chalamoid, she should be the once a week, that's time already, the once a week, Thursday, Tuesday, whatever day of the week is she washes clothes. So she really, strictly speaking, should be mutter to wash the clothing on Chalamoid, it's Torchei Amoid. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to wash clothing on Chalamoid, you're not allowed to take hair on Chalamoid. Why not? So the Gemara says, it's Torchei Amoid, it should have been mutter. So the Gemara says, if people will know that you're allowed to take a haircut on chalamoid, so people who work for a living, Shiva guys don't work for a living, people work for a living, they're in the office, they're working all day, and they come home and they don't have time to go to a haircut, so they'll take a haircut, they'll wait till chalamoid to take a haircut, and they'll be nichnas leregel kishuhu menuvol. That's not right to enter into yontif when you really need a haircut and you didn't take one. So to prevent people from waiting to do all their laundry on chalamoid, to take the haircuts on chalamoid, so the Chacham said, if you didn't take a haircut before, we prohibit you from taking the haircut on chalamoid, we prohibit you from washing the clothing on chalamoid. Unless the Mishnah says, unless you have a case where there's an oinez demuchach, The Mishnah says, "Hey, let me gal chamemoy." The following people are permitted to take care of chalamoy. It says, "Ayotim mebeis asurim." A man was in prison for whatever good the ma'isim tovim he put him in prison, cheating on income tax, whatever mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim he did. So, in the prison in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't allow any barbers. Now they have daf yomi with black kosher, with barbers. They have everything. Depends which prison. Some prisons not. So if in his prison there is no hair barber, and then when he and everybody in the community knows that he just got out of prison, a chalamot. So yetsim mebeis hasum. That's an ayin is the muchach. Everybody knows. Or abomim dinas ayam. He came by boat. So the boat was traveling weeks and weeks and months. The boat was traveling on the ocean till he got back to Eretz Yisrael. Mishnayos were written in Eretz Yisrael. So abomim dinas ayam means he was traveling chutz l'aretz, comes back. And on the boats, Bismana Gemara, Bismana Tanaim, they didn't have any barbers. So he comes back home. Everybody knows he just came back from Medina Sayama. He was sick in the hospital. And they know that in the hospital, when you're sick in the intensive care unit, they don't give you any haircuts. So then he gets better in the middle of Chalamot. He comes home. So all the people in the neighborhood know about his oinus. So then he's allowed to take a haircut. And the same thing to wash the clothing of Chalamot, because that's an oinus demuch. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So that's the question. What about people who shave every day? Are they permitted to shave on Chalamoid? So the Gemara has a discussion. What's included? How much is included in the Issa Tiglachas? That you're not allowed to shave, you're not allowed to take a hair on Chalamoid. What about cutting nails? What about cutting fingernails and toenails and so on? So that's a Shaila. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that it's permissible to cut nails, but there's a Machlokes and the Mechaben Ramah. Is it even mutter to cut nails with a nail cutter, or is it only mutter to bite the nails with your teeth? One opinion, the Gemara is only mutter to bite your nails with your teeth, and the Gemara says, Shmamino, that it's permissible to bite your nails. One would have thought it's a double mos, like your mother told you, don't bite your nails with your teeth. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that strictly speaking is mutter. You should listen to your mother, you shouldn't do it. But the Gemara says, strictly speaking is mutter. So that's a shaila, what's on chalamoid? So the Ramah paskins that you're not allowed to cut your nails with a nail cutter, only to bite your nails with your teeth. Mechaber says mutter even with a nail cutter, ayde genustera, and the Ramah is machmed that you're not allowed to. So there, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quote like this: the Tur has a machlekes with the Rabbeinu Tam. This prohibition against taking a haircut on Chalamoid is, the Gemara said, the reason why is because it's Gzeira Shema. We don't want him to enter into Yontif in a sloppy state. So what if the person took a haircut, Mamish, right before Yontif? He took a haircut specifically for Yontif. His practice is he takes a haircut once a week, every week. He wants to look just so. So is he permitted to take a haircut on Chalamoid? So Rabbi Natan says yes, because the whole reason for the Gzer was here, where the fellow took a haircut specifically before Yontif, then the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, so the Gzera doesn't apply. The Tur disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He says it's not correct. Even in a case where the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, the Gzera still applies. It's a loy plug rabbanus. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say that even though we follow the Tur, we don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam, even if the person took a haircut specifically before Yontif, we would not permit him to take a haircut on Chalamoid. But as far as cutting nails is concerned, If when Yontif entered, his nails didn't look awful, his nails were in good shape, then Yontif is a whole week. So by the time it comes, the last day's Yontif, then it's time to cut his nails. So then we would be mekel. We would rely on the Rabbeinu Tam, not for taking a haircut on Chalamoid, but for cutting the nails, because cutting nails in the first place was a machlokes in the Gemara. And the Mechaber holds that it's mutter to cut nails even with a nail cutter. So even though the Ramah is machmer, not to cut nails with a nail cutter, but if kotzat siparna me'erev haregel, so we would allow it on regel. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He discusses what's the din for people who shave every day. Are they allowed to shave on Chalamoid? So Moshe presents a whole argument. So he says the people, everybody comes to shul on Leil Yontif, so everybody looks all just so, everybody's clean shaven. Then it comes 2 days of Yontif go by, comes the first day Chalamoid. So everybody has, everybody needs a shave. So everybody in the community knows what happened. It's not a secret. Everybody knows it's an oinus. You couldn't shave the hair on the Erev Yontif that didn't grow yet. That's an oinus the muchach. Everybody knows about that. You see, I don't have a beard, a 2-week beard, a 3-week beard. have a 3-day bid. I didn't shave since Erev Yontov. So that's, Rav Moshe says, that should be known as the Mucha. So strictly speaking, even though we rejected Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan said, whenever you took a haircut on Erev Regel, you're allowed to take a haircut on Regel. So we followed the tour, we don't follow the Rabbi Natan. But over here, even the tour would agree, because this is the Chanoin, it's the Muchach. Everybody in the neighborhood knows that the reason why he couldn't take a haircut is because he can't shave the hair that didn't grow yet. Then Rav Moshe concludes by saying, but Yirei Shamayim should still be Machmer and should not take a haircut, should not shave on Chol HaMoed. Rav Soloveitchik presented the same argument as Rav Moshe, that everybody in the neighborhood knows he couldn't shave the hair on Erev Yontov that hadn't grown yet. And then regarding the last part of Rav Moshe's tshuva, the last paragraph, so he said, why should that be so? Why should you be machmer? Whenever you have a hetter to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, hayetzim ibeis asurim, habom imdinas hayam, b'chodesh en esrape, he thought that not only is it permissible, you're obligated to. There's a mitzvah of, you're not allowed to be hamavazes HaMoed, to walk around sloppy and dirty and greasy and so on. You have to look neat, nice and neat on Chol HaMoed. It doesn't have to be big day yom to big day Shabbos. It has to be something slightly less than Big Day Shabbos, but still, if you have a heter to take a haircut, so he thought, you have to use the heter to take the haircut. Famous is that the Nadav Yehuda wrote a tshuva about this. Nadav Yehuda writes in his tshuva that he permitted the Balabatim in his community. He lived in Prague, which at that time was a very modern city. It was on the cutting edge of everything. Gilei Arayis, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, everything was going on, like New York today. He got all the shilas at that and everything. So one of the tshuvas he writes, give me a break, I'm an old man, send me shailas with designers to somebody else already. That's what he writes in one of his tshuvas. So he writes in his tshuva, he allowed his balabatim to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and he has a secret reason which he doesn't want to reveal. There's a secret reason. What's the secret reason? Why doesn't he want to reveal the secret? The reason that Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his sefer, and that Rav Soloveitchik said, that's based on the Mishnah. Oin is the muchach, is muta. He must have had, what's those secrets? So the Chasam Sefer writes, he's going to reveal the secret of the Nadav Yehuda. He says, the Balabatim in his city, some of them were not so observant, so they used to shave with a razor, which is not permissible. So the Nadav Yehuda is of the opinion that the Avera Deraisa, shaving with a razor, only applies if you have a significant, if you... The beard grew to a significant length. You have to have giluach sheyesh b'hashchosa. The Gemara says in the third perek in Makkos, has to be giluach sheyesh b'hashchosa. If you shave every day with a razor, so the Nadav Yehuda's opinion was that that's not an isa deraisa. So if he's going to tell his balabatim they shouldn't shave from erev Pesach till after Yisruchag, so then they're going to have 8 days worth of a beard. That'll be an isa deraisa. So that's why he told them they should shave every day of Chol HaMoed. So there'll only be, he'll lessen the Avera. It'll only be an Avera de Rabban, won't be an Avera de Reis. So the Chasam Sofer said, that's because the Nadav Yehuda lived in Prague. And they were, and they weren't observant. His Balabatim was shaving with a razor. But he lives in Hungary, and his Balabatim are observant. So he says that the Heter of the Nadav Yehuda doesn't apply to us. But Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that if everybody in the community knows that the fellow shaves every day, so they consider this an Ein is the Muchach, and Ein is the Muchach would be permissible. So here comes the question that you raised before. There are different minhagim that are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch regarding the Avelus of Sfira. Some observe the first 33 days, and some observe starting from Rosh Chodesh on. Different minhagim had how to observe the Avelus of Sfira. So the question is, those who observe the first 33 days until Lag Baomer, so if the person has a heter to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed because Ayetzim Beis Asur Machodesh and Isrape, Abomim Dina Sayam, whatever the case happens to be. So that's maybe that's good on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. What about a Chol HaMoed Pesach? Is he allowed to take a haircut or not? What happened to the Avelus of Sfira? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Godim that whoever has a heter to take a haircut based on the Mishnah, Eilu Megalchim, if it's mutam itam tiglachas b'Chol HaMoed, then you don't have to worry about the Iser of Sfira, the Avelus of Sfira. Shad is, why not? Why not? So the Prima Godim doesn't explain why not. So the There's a Sefer Binyan Shlomo by Rav Shlomo Levilna, who was a dayan in Vilna, the late 1800s, when the Vilna Shas was being printed, he was Magi on the Vilna Shas. So he writes a Chiddush. He was a Moira Hara. He writes a Chiddush that I don't think other Paskim say. He writes a Chiddush that one does not have to observe Avelis of Yud Beis Chodesh on Yontef HaChalamoid. The Avelis that we observe, the meaning that we observe Avelis during Sfira, is an Avelis that's parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh. There's Avelis that's most intense, that's Shiva, then it's slightly less, that's Shloshim, and then Alav Avalim. If a parent dies, then one observes a lower level, a lower form of Avelis, till the end of the first year, till the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh. The Kaddish one only recites for 11 months. They give us a reason of Shulchan Aruch, but the Avelis should be observed till the end of the whole year. Yud Beis Chodesh. So Shana Mover is the only observe Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Avelis of Sphere is parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh. Rav Shlomo Lavilna writes a Chiddush that Avelis, Yud Beis Chodesh, is not observed at all, not on Yontif and not on Chalamoid. He's talking about Duchanim. He talks about in Shulchan Aruch, it says a minig that an Ovel doesn't Duchan. How do you have an Ovel? So, let's say a person is in the middle of Shloshim for a relative, and Pesach comes, it cancels the Shloshim. He says, it's not Navelis anymore. Let's say the person was in the middle of Shiva, and then Yontif comes, cancels Shiva, but now he's in the middle of Shloshim. So, or let's say a parent dies, even if the child is in the middle of Shloshim and Yantav comes cancel Shloshim, but he's still in the Avelis of Yud Beis Chodesh. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that one who's in Avelis Shloshim or Yud Beis Chodesh on Yantav should not do it. And they quote it from the Rishonim. So Abshalom Lavilna Tain is, no, that's incorrect. Those Rishonim have said a novel shouldn't duchen, that's because they used to duchen every day. So one is an Avelis, shouldn't duchen. The Kohen should only duchen when they're in a happy mood, when they're in a state of Simcha. And one is an Avelis, is not in Simcha, so he shouldn't duchen. But today, the common practice by the Ashkenazim is that we only duchen on Yom Tov. So he says on Yom Tov, you don't observe any Avelis, Yud Beis Chodesh, Shloshim, okay. But one is after Shloshim, is just in Yud Beis Chodesh, he says you don't observe Avelis, Yud Beis Chodesh on Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed. So it doesn't make sense to say that he shouldn't duchen. He's not an Avelis. That's what he writes. He said, no such thing as observing Avelis. Yud Beis Chodesh on Yom Tov HaChalamoid. So if you say it like that, then we understand very well what the Prima Gadim is talking about. It doesn't explain himself. Prima Gadim just says, one who had a head to take a haircut on Chalamoid because of the consideration that says in the Mishnah, if you have an Oinez Demuchach, then not only is it Mutam Itam Chalamoid, it's Mutam Itam Sphere as well. Yeah, you say that the Avelis of Sphere is not observed on Chalamoid, so then you can go to concerts also on Chalamoid. But it could well be that the Rabbi Shlomo Lavilna is a big Chiddush. The Pashtus says that the other Paskim do not agree. The Pashtus says that the Paskim hold that just like one is in Shloshim, does observe Shloshim on Yontif and Chalamoid, one is in Yud Beis Chodesh, observes Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh on Yontif and Chalamoid as well. And what the Prima Gora meant to say perhaps is something else. The Shad is, do we really have a minig not to take a haircut during Sfira? It doesn't really come up. You don't take a haircut every day. We take a haircut every couple of weeks. We take a haircut. So we arrange our haircuts in such a way that it shouldn't contradict Sfira. We take a haircut before Pesach, then you take a haircut like Boima, or where a Shchedesh falls on Shabbos, you take a haircut. Shchedesh Cholias B'Shabbos is treated like a Yontif, so then since it's a Yontif, so you're allowed to take a haircut on Friday. This year, Shchedesh falls on Shabbos. Shchedesh year falls on Shabbos. So it falls on Shabbos, it's in Shulchan Aruch. We treat Shabbos and Shchedesh like a Yontif. It's more than Shabbos alone, more than Shchedesh alone. Shabbos and Shchedesh is considered like a Yontif, so you're allowed to take a haircut. So the truth of the matter is, we don't really have a meaning not to take a haircut during Sfira. We have a meaning to arrange our haircuts in such a way that, let's say, if you have a meaning not to get married in Sfira, you only get married once in a lifetime, hopefully. So you arrange your chasana in such a way that you don't pick the date then. This sister-in-law is expecting a baby, the mother-in-law is expecting a baby, whatever. So you have to figure out when you're going to set the date for the wedding. So you set the date, you avoid, but it's not really that we have a meaning not to get married. You have a meaning when you set the date, so you don't set the date during Sfira. So the Prima Godim, perhaps they're just saying a different thing. This fellow has Yotzim Beis Asurim, as a Chodesh and his Rabbi, so he has a Hetta Mitam Chalamoy to take a haircut. So there never was a meaning in the first place not to take a haircut on Svira. The whole meaning only is, if you have B'Yecholtecha, so you arrange your haircuts in such a way that it shouldn't contradict Svira, as if one is observing Avelos. But over here, he didn't have the opportunity to. He was a Yetzim Ebes Asurim. He was a Chodesh and Esrape. Since he didn't have the opportunity to, so maybe that's what the Prima Gada meant to say. But not that he meant to say, like Rav Shlomo Levilna, that none of the Avelos at Yud Beis Chodesh is observed on Chalamoid. So then, let's say, to go to a concert on Chalamoid Pesach, so those observe the sphere up until Lag Baomer should avoid, the Pashtus should avoid going to the concert. Even though it is Chalamoid, even though there is a mitzvah of Simcha, you can fulfill a Simcha without going to the concert. This is the basic outline of Dinyani Chalamoid. Okay, anybody want to raise some issues?
How far does the definition of Tzarfei Amoed go? What is within the definition of Tzarfei Amoed?
For example, you want to vacuum the rug, they're full of matzah crumbs.
Some sort of thing that you do for enjoyment. You want to drive, you want to take a pleasant drive, or you want to turn on the music if you have a different habit about the Omer.
I think that's mutter. Yeah. People go cherry picking a chalamoid. They're not going to eat. They have a ton of cherries. They're not going to eat the cherries all for yontif. They got a bellyache if they eat so many cherries. So it says shayla. I thought the pashtus is that's also called tzar chamoid. That's an activity. That's for fun. So you're allowed to.
Let's say things like making your life more convenient, like writing down a phone number, or just to get by day to day things.
Writing down a phone number, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is a dove habit. If you have some information that you may forget, in Shulchan Aruch, they have a holier example. They have a person who is machadish achidish, and he's afraid if he doesn't write it down, he's going to forget a phone number. He's afraid he's going to forget. He can't memorize all the phone numbers. So it says that's called the dove habit. If he's afraid he's going to forget, so he's allowed to write it down.
In terms of the tzarach hamoed, so like if I have a choice to walk somewhere, to drive somewhere, I can walk just as easily.
It's a big tircha to walk, so then yeah, pashtus is your ladder ride. To drive the car is a malocha, but it's a malocha, tzarach hamoed. But it makes life easier, so then it's mutter. There's a suffix in the recent poskim. The Gemara says in Moed Katan that malachas chalamoid, the consideration of tircha plays a role. Malocha on Shabbos Yontif tircha does not play a role, but chalamoid does. So that's a shaila. Let's say we have a switch to flick on the switch, flick it off, flick it off 10 times. Absolutely shalot at Sarah Klal. Maybe that's mutar chalamoid. That's not clear. Maybe that's at the gummy because mamish no tircha at all. So we don't do it. Okay, so we don't do it. To do malocha totally unnecessarily, chalamoid is not allowed. Even if there's absolutely no tircha whatsoever, that's the deal. So we're machmer on it.
One has a
hetter
for kibbutz for a big day time.
I thought it's not permissible. I thought the Chachamim made a separate gzeira against kibbutz, so only the big dick tanim that you're allowed to, because that's annoying as the muchach. Everybody knows you can't have 50 sets of outfit for the children. But the big dick delam, I thought it's not permissible. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the three different levels of Avelos, the Shiva Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh. So he pointed out that during Sphira, the meaning is that we observe Avelos parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh. It's not at all parallel to Shiva, and it's not even parallel to Shloshim. This says in the Panim Eiris, that final quote from the Chuvah's Panim Eiris, he says like this. I don't know, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes a little differently, but that's how it says in the Panim Eiris, that the Avelos of Sphira, the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, the Gemara compares to Shiva. The Avelos of the 9 days is a minig, that's compared to Shloshim. The Avelos of the rest of the 3 weeks, and the Avelos of Svira, that's along the lines of Yud Beis Chodesh. So strictly speaking, in Avelos Yud Beis Chodesh, Mishein Lo Isha Banim, if a person was never married before and he wants to get married, he's allowed to get married in Avelos Yud Beis Chodesh. So how come we don't allow people to get married during Svira, even if they never got married before? And how come we don't allow people to get married in the 3 weeks even though it's Ein Lisha Banim, so the Yesta Kasha. What's the Kasha? The Kasha is based on the assumption that it's parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Behetim quotes that Kasha from earlier Achrayim. So the answer, that's a separate meaning. The meaning not to take a haircut, that's because of Avelis. The meaning not to get married, that's because Le Misam Nemilsa. It's not a lucky season to get married. Like in Shulchan Aruch, in the second Chelik Yeridea, there's a simon about Chukas Akum. So there's a discussion, you're not allowed to do anything that's superstitious. So in the days of the Rishonim, the meaning developed that people would only get married in the first half of the month. They wouldn't get married the latter half of the month. Symbolically, the moon is growing and growing, so our love for each other should grow. Sure. So some Rishonim held that the Mukhi Yosef writes in Sanhedrin that some Rishonim were opposed to this minig, that that's superstitious. And the defense of the minig was it's not a superstition. That way, do we think that marriage is going to be happier if you get married at the beginning of the month as opposed to the end of the month? Not going to be happier. We do it as a simon yofer. The marriage is going to be a better marriage if you have white tablecloths and the caller wears a white gown. Let her wear a polka dot, a black polka dot gown. It looks pretty, purity, whatever. A white gown, a white tablecloth, no, it looks nicer. So also, you get married at the beginning of the month as opposed to the end of the month. There's nothing superstitious about that. So here also, the period of Sfira was a period of time that all the crusades always started in the springtime, and that's when they killed so many Jews and so many pogroms. So that's why we don't want to get married that season of the year. But taking the haircuts, Taka, that's because the period of Sfira and the period of the 3 weeks, even before the 9 days, is compared to Avelis of Yud Beis Chodesh. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, but we all know that in Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh, one is not permitted to take a haircut till he reaches the point Achigar B'chaveirav, till he really looks so bad that other people would tell him, or he doesn't even have to wait till no one has to tell him. He looks in the mirror, so he sees that he looks awful. He really needs a haircut badly. So then the din is that you're permitted to take a haircut. So the common practice is that people who are in Avelis, when a relative dies, when a parent dies, after Shloshim is up, then when it comes Yud Beis Chodesh, they do shave. They shave on a regular basis. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that if a person in the middle of a Sfira, if a person is in the practice of shaving every day, and then he's not going to shave during Sfira, so that's more than the minig ever was, that it's a shaving. For those who shave every day, so after not shaving for 3 days or 5 days, the Achrayim write, Mamshik writes like that, if you didn't shave for 3 days or 5 days, that's already called Yigar B'Chaveirov. So as far as shaving is concerned, you would be allowed to shave. That was years ago, that was the practice here in the yeshiva. Everybody always used to shave during Sfira. Now it's a different world. Now everybody learns in Eretz Yisrael. When I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, Eretz Yisrael didn't exist. The Medina existed, it was after 1948, but there was no system. People weren't going to learn there in Eretz Yisrael. So now people picked up the minhag from Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, most places they don't shave during Sfira.
Keep the late
Achigar B'Chaveirav
every time.
Rabbi Kiveger writes on Yerideya that you don't have to wait each time Achigar B'Chaveirav. Once you waited the first time, so it's permissible to shave and to take your haircut on a regular basis, you don't have to wait each time. And Moshe Feinstein in the Sefer writes that it's a Pella. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense. He really ought to wait each time Achigar B'Chaveirav, but he gives in to Rabbi Kiveger. I was told that Rav Soloveitchik thought that it was a Pella and didn't want to give in to Rabbi Kiveger. So he thought you should wait each time Achigar B'Chaveirav, but that's not the common practice. The common practice is that once you waited the Achigar B'Chaveirav, then you take a haircut on a regular basis. Okay, have a good Yom Tov and a good Nachalamoy.
Filling up a car with gasoline, a full tank. And if your tank of gas is empty, and you're going to go to the fuel, let's say, tank of the top, you only need, let's say, a quarter of the tank, a little bit. And you fill the entire tank.
I think you may.
Yeah?
Zero.
Yeah.
Start for a little bit.